and is this to come up. We'll talk here in a few minutes about your covenant paper that you have there in your bulletin. Here we go. But first, we're going to talk about cats. So if you see the little kittens, this is kind of hard to see. Just see the eyes down there. So it was a couple years ago, maybe a few more, that there were two kittens that shut down the B and Q lines of the New York subway system. Anybody remember this news story years ago when it happened? So there were two little kittens that, it was a Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Of course, these two lines, the way they run, one runs from like Brooklyn into the heart of Manhattan. So this is a really busy subway line. So there's no good time for disruption. But a Thursday morning at 11, there were two scared little kittens spotted running down that third rail, the one that would probably take 9 lives pretty quick. And people saw that, and they decided to cut the power line to the entire subway system so that people could go on a scavenger hunt to find these kittens. So it was shut down for almost 2 hours. Commuters just sitting there waiting while people were running through trying to find these kittens. But after 2 hours, they couldn't find them. And so at that point, decided, well, we can't keep the line shut off. The disruption can't be going any longer. So since the kittens were not in visible danger, they eventually started to run the local trains, eventually those express trains. But they also told all the drivers to keep an eye out to spot the kittens so they could get the kittens out of the subway. So as you can imagine, in a day of instant commentary on such events, that the internet blew up with all sorts of ideas about stopping the subway for these two kittens. So you had the animal lovers who praised the compassion of the city and the company for shutting down the subway system. There were those who may have even questioned why they started up after not finding the kittens. And then you also have those commuters who were very frustrated being delayed for 2 hours because of two kittens on the subway line. And then you get all the fun conspiracy theorists that, well, they weren't kittens. They were terrorists dressed up as kittens crawling through the subway system. Or, you know what? The president, he let the cats out of the bag. And there were crazy things that came up about all of this. Just these little kittens on the subway. But everything really came around one point of this argument. With these two kittens in the subway, was it really worth it to shut down the subway for 2 hours for these kittens? Now, we're not going to argue whether it was a good thing, a bad thing, any of the conspiracy theories, none of that. But the thinking of, is it worth it? We're talking about this little guy who climbed out on a limb. And was it worth it? So we all know the song, we just sang it. Zacchaeus, this wee little man up the sycamore tree. Do you ever notice whenever we sing it, it's always, Zacchaeus, you come down. We shake our fingers, Zacchaeus. So why do we really shout that? Jesus doesn't really seem to be shouting to Zacchaeus, does he? Jesus is walking along, sees Zacchaeus there, and he comes up and just says, hey, come down and come to your house today. Maybe we just get carried up in the song, and as little kids, we just shout it because that's what kids do. But the thing is, Zacchaeus wasn't well thought of in his community. Now, I wonder when Luke wrote this gospel that even Luke had to bite his tongue a little bit when he writes the part about Jesus telling him to come down out of that tree. Because when we read through the gospel of Luke, there's a lot of talk about this certain attitude of people with means, with resources, the rich. Luke really doesn't like them in the way he writes, and the stories of Jesus that he includes in his gospel. Or maybe Luke thought that Jesus didn't like them. Jesus has a lot to say to the rich about giving up all you have and giving to the poor. So there's a story that comes after this. The rich don't really come out so good in Luke, but we hear this story about this man Zacchaeus, a chief tax collector who was rich. So as if it wasn't bad enough being a tax collector, he's the chief tax collector. So this isn't the guy sitting at the booth, you come up, you pay your taxes. This is the guy who oversees all of it, and when he shows up at your door, he takes everything he's got and then leaves. And he usually shows up with muscle, which is the Roman muscle. He's probably the one who recruited all the other tax collectors who are now hated as much as he is. He is the regional director of tax collection. That's bad enough, but even more that Luke makes sure to point out that he's rich. So we know Jesus has his conversations with the rich, and usually doesn't turn out well. So you read this and think, well, this can't end well for Zacchaeus. Except for this strange thing happens. When Jesus comes into town, he decides to go and see Zacchaeus. Now, he doesn't go right ahead and say, hey, Zacchaeus, I want to come to your house. Doesn't then have his people call his people, none of that kind of stuff. He's walking along, and he sees Zacchaeus in the tree, says, hey, come on down, I want to go to your house. So since Zacchaeus has heard Jesus coming through town, says, I want to see this guy. Climbs up in the tree, because he's a short guy, he can't see. And Jesus says, hey, I'm coming to your house. Zacchaeus jumps down and runs to his house. Doesn't argue about it, nothing like that. He just gets down and he runs. He seems to accept it all. So Jesus invites himself to the house of the guy who climbed a tree just to see them. Now, we really don't know why Jesus said he must stay at Zacchaeus' house. He must stay. Because we really don't know a thing about Zacchaeus' motivation. Was he just trying to look down on this guy? You know, Zacchaeus, everybody obviously knows Zacchaeus in this town because he's the chief tax collector. He maybe wants to see his competition with the other guy people are talking about. We don't know. All we know is that he was trying to see who Jesus was. So the really curious thing about the story is the transformation. It's the change of behavior. That Jesus, it doesn't even really say that he gets to his house, but Jesus, he comes to Jesus and says, I'm going to give away half of what I have. I'm going to pay back what I've taken. If I've taken something, I'm going to give four times as much. So after just seeing Jesus, why is he already so generous? Is Jesus coming to have dinner with him because he's already this good guy? Well, the crowd really doesn't think so. They start grumbling. Jesus, why are you going to eat with this sinner? He does all this stuff. Don't you know that he's a bad guy? He's not worth it. Don't waste your time with him. Keep the trains running on time. Stay on target, Jesus. Stay out of the gutters and off the side streets. Stay out of the trees. Stick to your own time. His time to sinners, they aren't worth bothering. But Jesus says that his kind is your kind. He's one of you. He's the son of Abraham, just like each and every one of you. If I ignore him, I'm going to ignore you. But I didn't come to ignore those who will go out on a limb just to see me. The ones who will risk reputation, even if it was that of a tax collector. The ones who put aside proper behavior, to act just like a child to be able to see me? So we don't know what was in Zacchaeus' mind to climb the tree. At best, his motivations were mixed. What would you do if Jesus had showed up and invited himself to your house with surprising urgency? Would you try to scurry home as fast as you can to start sweeping and cleaning frantically? To make sure that one closet is locked where all the junk is, that if it was opened up, it all fall out. Are we worth the effort? No matter what anyone else seems to think, we are worth that effort. We're worth the disruption, worth that inconvenience of being loved by God. But now think about this. Maybe don't think of yourself as Zacchaeus. Are you one of the people in the crowd shaking your head saying, this guy isn't worth it, Jesus? Or are you maybe one who's walking along with Jesus saying, yes, you need to go into the homes of the sinners? Or or you may be like Zacchaeus, climbing up on a tree, hoping just to catch a glimpse of Jesus and a whole new way of living. There's so much in this story about how it all fits together. This strange little story of Zacchaeus up in a tree, Jesus is coming to your house, and he instantly gives away half of his possessions, pays people back. That kind of transformation. So is it worth Jesus stopping to speak to Zacchaeus? Well, I think it was. Zacchaeus was changed. And was it worth it to stop the subway for those kittens? So 7 hours later, the kittens were found. And they were named Arthur and August. And they were decided that it was worth it to stop the subway to keep these kittens safe. So this story is all about encountering God and being transformed. Today, among many things that we can celebrate, is Reformation Sunday. It's a Sunday we remember Martin Luther going to the church in Wittenberg and nailing up his 99 theses and starting the Protestant Reformation. He was wanting to transform the way the church operated in a time of buying and selling indulgences that he thought the church was not handling money the way they should. When we speak of Martin Luther, we often maybe think of another name, Martin Luther King Jr., who also preached to bring about transformation in our world. A transformation of racial equality in America. Now both Martin Luther King Jr., they were preachers. They both wanted people to encounter God and become new creations through the work that they did. When we encounter Jesus, we can be transformed. Zacchaeus went out on a limb. Who knows what he was expecting to happen? That's one of the dangerous things about seeking out God. You might end up transformed. When we pray, we seek God out, we will be changed. So as we think about our giving into the church, it's something none of us like to talk about, as we said last week. It can get awkward. We look at the budget and the bottom lines and all of that. It's much happier to think about going out and doing good in the world and doing all these things. But it takes that financial support for it to happen. But there's so many other ways that we can be transformed in our giving. When we can give God a little bit more of our life and seek God out a little more, God transforms us from the inside out. So if you look in your bulletin, you have your covenant paper that's there. And so this is a way of making promises to God. A way that you want to support the church and the ministry that is done here. And there's lots of ways that can be done. The first is praying for someone who I would like to see attend our church. Maybe someone that, through the pandemic, has fallen out of the habit of being here. Someone who you really think could benefit from joining our church family. Maybe someone who's seeking for that connection. Just think about that. Zacchaeus probably didn't have a whole lot of friends. Maybe Zacchaeus is out on that limb trying to find this guy Jesus who welcomes all these other people to him. Someone who you might want to see connect to our church. For people in your family and in our community that need our prayers, maybe they're going through a tough time. A person that you want to remember each and every day and lift them up to God. The next one, giving of your time to the church in different ways. Ways you can be present in the ministries of our church. Helping out with tanking breakfast. Maybe coming to help the ladies they come to clean as they've been doing. Coming to help rake the leaves. Maybe attending Sunday school. Attending Bible studies. Somebody giving up your time to help support the church. What about actions in your everyday life where you can be a better witness of God's love? What are ways that you can do just a little bit more in your daily life to show the love of God to all people? How are ways you can grow in your knowledge of God through study, morning devotions, whatever it is? And then your financial resources to the church. Whether it's increasing your giving a little bit, maybe doing the online giving so it comes out automatically, you don't think about it. Ways that we can support the financial resources of our church so we can continue to have our lights on, the heat on, and do the things that God has called us to. and then extra space for other ways you want to grow and live out your faith. All of these things lead to transformation. Because in all of these things, there are opportunities to encounter God. When we encounter God, when we climb up that tree and look down and Jesus looks up at us, something changes. Just the words of Jesus, Zacchaeus, I must stay at your house. Zacchaeus gives up half of his wealth, pays people back. Because that relationship with God is worth it to Zacchaeus. So once you take some time and ponder, you can write some things down. You have an envelope that's there as well. You can fold the paper up and seal it in the envelope. And then here in a few moments, we'll have some music playing.
And I have our offering plate right up here. I invite you, if you feel led, you can come and set that in the plate. And I'll take them, I'll put them in a bag, store them back in the closet in the office. And then sometime mid-summer, we'll pull those out again to look at them, kind of check in on how are we doing? Are we really striving to be better? My hope is you open up and we see transformation that's taking place in our lives. That through some of these simple actions, no matter what they are ways that we encounter God and God transforms our lives, that we can be better followers of Jesus.
As we talk about all the finances and things like that, it's also my prayer that as a church we will find ways to be the best stewards of the resources that we have, that we can do the best with what God has given us. We know God is the God of abundance, but it takes our effort to make sure it is used the way God would want it to be used. So as we think through the ministry of council meetings and those decisions on money, I want us to take time to pray hard about where is God leading us? What does God want us to accomplish? Because see, we're making this covenant and this promise with God. And the great thing is, we know that God upholds his end of the promise. And we strive to uphold ours. God will move in incredible ways and lead to transformation. Martin Luther nailed a paper on the door of a church, and look where it has led us today. Martin Luther King preached and led others. It's a battle that sadly is still being fought. God transforms our lives and this world. So this is an invitation to open ourselves up to be transformed and allow God to move in and through us. So have a word of prayer, and Susan will play some music for us. And I invite you to be able to come and you can place your envelope in the plate. If you'd like to kneel and pray at the altar, it would be a very appropriate time for that. It will make our promises with God to see transformation take hold in our lives and the life of our church. Let us pray. Holy Lord, it's always a hard thing when we have to think about the money and finances of the church. As we read Luke's gospel, we do often read it through the eyes of Luke, who seems that it doesn't go well for the rich. We always feel this call to give more. We also read that you like a good and cheerful giver. So Lord, help us joyfully give to your kingdom, not only through our financial resources. Help us to be the best stewards of what you have given us and give back to you. And Lord, help us to find ways to better live out our faith, to share your love with others, to pray for one another, and to bring your kingdom a little closer to us here and now, here on this street corner. Lord, I thank you for the many, many faithful who support this church, those who give all that they can. Lord, we thank you and praise you for those who have gone before us, that have brought us to this point. Lord, help us to give of ourselves so that this place and this ministry will continue for many, many years to come, throughout the generations, that all may feel the love that we feel as we gather in this place and worship you. Lord, receive these promises of ours. Help hold us accountable that we can do all in our power to uphold these promises and be transformed by your great love. You have looked at each of us and said each and every one of us are worth it. Lord, help us have the courage to climb out on a limb and see you face to face. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.